Harper Audio presents Stealing America, what my experience with criminal gangs taught me about Obama, Hillary, and the Democratic Party, by Dinesh D'Souza. Read by Dinesh D'Souza and Andrew Klavan. This is the author. Chapter 1. Crime and Punishment. How They Taught Me a Lesson. If a man wishes to be sure of the road he's traveling on, then he must close his eyes and travel in the dark. John of the Cross, Dark Night of the Soul. The mood in the courtroom was tense and electric as I entered, accompanied by my superstar lawyer Benjamin Braffman and another attorney, Alex Spiro. We were in the Daniel Patrick Moynihan United States Courthouse in Lower Manhattan, the offices of Judge Richard Berman. Braffman, with his elegant locks of hair brushed back, looked completely at home in this environment. I, on the other hand, was not. I tried to look nonchalant, or at least expressionless. Inside, however, my heart was pounding with terror. In a very short time, I'd know if I was headed to federal prison. My crime? I had exceeded the campaign finance laws by convincing two of my friends to contribute $10,000 apiece to a candidate for the United States Senate from New York. Then I reimbursed them for their contribution. For this, I subsequently discovered, I could be prosecuted as a felon and sent away for up to 2 years. I had already pleaded guilty to the charge. Now I was going to find out whether the judge would give me a prison sentence. My greatest fear was not prison itself. At Braffman's suggestion, I had hired a criminologist with extensive experience in the various federal prison camps. "If you get prison," this fellow told me, "it's going to be a white-collar camp, most likely Taft or Lompoc in California. You're going to be surrounded by accountants, lawyers, dentists, bureaucrats. All the others in there have proven themselves through good behavior. These are nonviolent criminals, just like you." That part, the "just like you," jolted me. I almost didn't hear the rest. "You'll have to work part-time, but you'll have lots of free time. There is little contact with the outside world, no cell phones and no laptops. But you can send emails from a general computer that is monitored, and you can make 300 minutes of phone calls per month, also monitored. That's not much, but you'll get used to it. Taft, the camp I'd recommend for you, has pretty good facilities, a gym, a running track, a tennis court. You're a writer, so do a lot of reading and writing. I'll help you to prepare for what to expect. If you stay busy and use common sense, you'll be fine." Fine? I took that as an exaggeration. Even if there was little danger of being stabbed or raped, how can someone who is locked up for 2 years without a phone and a laptop and such limited contact with the outside world be fine? My deepest fears were over my 19-year-old daughter. She, I knew, would be devastated. I had recently gone through a difficult divorce, and unfortunately my daughter's relationship with her mother had been, at least temporarily, severed. Even though my daughter was now in college, in terms of immediate family, I was all she had. I was accompanied by a few close friends and two sympathetic journalists, the seasoned veteran Jerome Corsi from World Net Daily and a young reporter for Breitbart News, Adele Nazarian. Nazarian said she was an immigrant from Iran and understood where I was coming from politically. Most of the crowd was hostile. The liberal press was there in force, from the staid New York Times to the rabid Daily News. "The reporters are so young," I thought to myself, "and how delighted they look at the prospect of me being sent away." These people hated me because I was a person of color who was also a conservative. They had regarded me as a race traitor, an enemy of the people. Jonathan Capehart, a blogger for The Washington Post, opined that Dinesh D'Souza is a disgusting man. D'Souza.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?